But the reading we've got comes out of John chapter 10, which is probably one of the favourite passages of the Bible, along with all the good, the lost son and the lost sheep. The I am the good shepherd passage, which comes in John chapter 10, is probably one of people's favourite chapters. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And it conjures up for us, doesn't it, images of a nice-faced shepherd carrying his sheep very gently on his shoulders, taking them back home, or leading his sheep out into the fields where they can lie down and have lots of nice grass to eat. It calls to mind the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the one who will walk through us, with us through all our difficulties. And all of this is very lovely, and I'm glad it does that for us. But that was actually not the intention of these passages. These passages, and particularly our reading today, is explosive and dangerous to Jesus. So much so, the next few verses tell us that they went out wanting to stone him. So what is going on? What is this discord with Jesus's well, what are they? The Jews who gathered around him, they're the ones who don't particularly agree with him. What is this discourse all about? John is very particular and very, very careful to tell us when and where it happened. And for him, it sets it in a context. So first of all, we hear that it's at the Feast of Dedication. Do any of you know what the Feast of Dedication is? I didn't, to be honest. You know, I had to look it up. We know all about Passover, don't we? And perhaps a bit about the tabernacles. But the Feast of Dedication is what the Jews now call Hanukkah. And we know that from Friends, I think. At least I do. And it commemorates some events that happened in 167 BC. At the times, the Jews had been overrun. Jerusalem had been taken and people had been killed and captured. And the worst thing was the oppressors were worshipping foreign gods with their idols in the temple. And it'd been going on for some time, and some people had collaborated with them, a bit like the Romans taking over. Some people had collaborated, but others were up for a fight. And Judas Maccabees organized and carried out a revolt in which he was able to overcome the oppressors and drive them out, thus liberating the Jews. It took them three years to sort it out. 3 years later, they had a service of dedication of the temple so that they could worship God properly again. And so, this story is set at the time when they recovered their temple and worshipping God. But the other thing that happened as a result of that, a new royal line was started. Judas Maccabees, he became king, and then a new royal line was started, and they weren't the line of David. And they continued right up until King Herod the Great. He wasn't from that line, came. The Romans put him in place, but he did marry somebody from the line. So in this time, we're looking at a false line of kings. And then Jesus is having the discourse in the porch of Solomon, the true line of kings. And Jesus is very clearly saying, this line of kings is going to be stopping and I'm going to be taking over. I'm going to be the true king. The line of David is here as well. But then we've got the shepherd story. This will get a bit easier soon. We've got the shepherd side of it, with Jesus claiming to be a shepherd. And that's not a new idea to the Jews. Their king, David, one of their first kings, was a shepherd. They thought about God as being their shepherd. And back in Ezekiel, It's a lovely chapter in chapter 34, where God is having a go at the shepherds of the people of the time. They were the rulers and leaders of the people. And God said, you're not doing it right. You're only thinking about yourselves. You're getting rich. You're feeding yourselves. You're looking after yourselves. You're holding on to your power. But you're not looking after my people. Yeah, we see that quite often, don't we? In our present day states. And God said, I'm going to be your shepherd. A day will come when I will be your good shepherd. And this is the kind of shepherd I will be. I will look out for those who are lost, and I'll help them find their way again. I'll bring them home. I will bind up those who are broken, and I will heal them. I will take the hungry somewhere to eat, and I will feed them. The thirsty I will give a drink. I will enable my sheep to lie down. You know, sheep only lie down when they feel safe and full. I will take them to a place where they are safe and secure, and I will protect them. So Jesus comes. He stands in the porch of Solomon. At the time of dedication of the temple, when they're celebrating the new line of kings, and says, I am the good shepherd. He could not have been clearer, saying to them, this way of being is coming to an end. I am God's appointed person. I and my way are the true king and kingdom. And he knows that they won't accept it because they're not listening. They don't want him as their king. They want somebody power-mad, someone who will drive the Romans out. But he called them to follow him. And he calls each one of us today and says, I am the true king. My kingdom is the true way. Will you follow me? Will you come with me? Will you live this way? Loving and binding the broken, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, caring for the poor, looking out for the lost. Now I know most, if not all of you, have chosen that way. So there is a wonderful promise in this word as well. If we listen to him, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Yesterday, we went for a walk and we were walking along the canal. And we came across this little clutch. Well, it was quite a big clutch. I think there were 15 of them, of very small yellow fluffy goslings with their parents. There were loads of them just dotting around on the bank, you know. And then a bit later on, we saw this minute, it was about that big, it was really small, little black fluffy moorhen chick. They were beautiful. And I thought to myself, you know, they are so vulnerable. They're vulnerable to being snatched from the air by a bird of prey very quickly. Nothing to defend them. They were vulnerable to being pounced on by a fox. They were very vulnerable to that stuff around them. And I thought, do you know, we're a bit like that, aren't we? We think we're all coping all right, but actually we're all very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable to the stuff that life throws at us. The storms of life that come our way. We're at the mercy of the things that are out of our control, which can change our life in a moment. Sometimes we're vulnerable at work by the decisions our bosses make, which we can't change. Even our own doubts and our own questions make us vulnerable. We want to walk away from our faith, but we can't. Jesus says, in all of those situations, nothing, absolutely nothing can snatch you out of my hand. I will hold you. I will hold your life. When you were confirmed, those that you have had, the word said to you, I have called you by name and you are mine. Jesus the shepherd knows each one of you. He knows your name. He holds you in his hand. And no matter what happens to you, even death itself cannot snatch us out of his hands. He gives us the gift of eternal life. That's life with God. And I don't know what that means, but life with God without end. Fullness of life. He says, I hold you in my hand. Nothing will snatch you out of it. So I just pray that in this resurrection season, we learn to not fear. Jesus says, don't fear. I know you. I hold you in my hand, and I'll never let you go. I pray that we'll have the grace in all circumstances, whatever they are, to be able to say, it is well with my soul. For our souls are held in Christ, who is one with the Father, who loves us. Peace be with you.